Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, June 22nd, already?
Yep.
Oh, man. More than halfway here. We talk about Christmas pretty soon. Oh, we won't even go there.
Right.
Hosting along with myself, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
How's it going?
Looks like you're air streaming outside.
Yes, I am. That's not mine.
Man. You wouldn't spend that kind of money on an Airstream?
$100,000? Hell no.
Wait, and that's a single axle? No.
That's a single axle, yes. But it's a 21.
Oh, yeah.
And the lady already wants tons of work.
Can't you order it with the stuff that she wants?
Probably.
I don't know.
But Gary's cheaper.
Well, yeah, it's probably twice as much when you order it from Airstream. I'm not putting Airstream down, because if you want a sponsor, that's okay. You know, you got extra money.
Well, they got a lot of extra money. But some of the things, like she wants a bunk bed put in there. I don't know that you can order it with a bunk bed.
Tell her she just needs a hammock, and then charge her like
yeah.
Can you just buy one of those metal racks from, like, Sam's Club
and put in them?
Yeah. Just double up on the plywood, right? You're good to go.
But she keeps stressing that her 95-pound sister is going to sleep
on the top. But they have to be very reinforced.
But for me, it's a 21 Airstream,
yeah.
So you don't want to hack it all up. You
right.
want it to make, you know. I'm going to make it look good.
I didn't know you did
and
that.
And she wants it out of aluminum.
I didn't know you went that deep into that kind of stuff. So
I don't.
I got some bunk beds I want you to make for me, too.
No.
Yeah, I thought you just changed the axles and lights.
Well, the first one
I know you can get custom.
Well, first bunk beds I want him to make are right down at the shop, because that's where he usually spends his time. So you need to set up a bed there first.
I need to set up a sink, a shower.
We have a sink. Just need a shower.
Yeah, need a shower. Yeah.
And a bed. So why don't you make that bunk first before
yeah.
this one?
Yeah.
Or take that Airstream down there and just hang
put
out
that
in there.
Airstream there? Hey, I can put it right along the side right there. Yeah.
I would like that.
Yes.
Aluminium.
Yep. Hey, it's my first home and this is my second home. So,
you know.
And when I go home, it's my third home.
Yeah, so. Right. The aluminum trailers are nice. They're just not nice for me because I don't know how to do aluminum welds. So if I need to like weld or hack something up on a trailer, I'm used to just grabbing the welder and start welding crap. But that one you really can't, or any other aluminum trailer. It's not as easy.
Yeah. You know what they say. Home is where the race car is.
Where's your race car? You're not home.
I'm not.
Of course, hosting also Mr. Freak. 33. Well, you're just a freak to Cindy, so.
Look what came out.
I don't know 33 right now.
What do you got going on here? Fireworks. Last year.
It fell out.
Wait, it's got some coronavirus on the trunk. Coronavirus is on the side.
That's okay. Bald eagle.
This is great.
This is fireworks. A family show. I do not promote this stuff.
I
bent down and it fell out from under my feet.
That's it, right there. Not a fire in your hand.
Yeah. You charged him how much for that?
Party at Gary.
Yep. He's going to have the party.
He's just going to throw him over the fence. Stockyard. Here we go. It's Gary.
I'm waiting to see what else he pulls out under here. So.
You don't want to know. Trust me, you don't want to know.
So are we invited to this?
Absolutely.
Get your stack of magazines back there, Road and Track.
That's right. Hey, I'm even having a water slide this year.
Ah. Sweet. Are adults allowed on the water slide?
Depends on how much they had to drink.
Okay. Or how much you had to drink.
Yeah.
Because if somebody pops it, then they're in trouble. You got technical difficulties there?
It must be the smartphone. I don't have no clue.
That's so smart.
Speaking of checking it out, with Mr. Vinny Rucci. You like Ryuchi, not Rucci. Rucci.
It's Ryuchi to me.
To you. It's Rucci to everybody else. Rucci Jr. So appreciate you coming in and being here. It's been a little while since you've been here, so it's
nice. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you.
Nice to see you guys again, too.
Yeah.
I've called his dad Ryuchi since the first day I shook his hand.
That's why he don't like you.
I don't. No, there's a lot of reasons that.
No, that's cool. You know, haven't seen, you know, Papa Rucci in a while either, so.
He's on.
I
don't know what you're doing wrong, Gary.
It's
going strong on my phone.
Yeah. Here's the best way to fix any kind of problem. Turn your phone off and turn it back on.
Yeah. Throw it out the door.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe if it had a trailer hitch on it.
There he goes. He's
Nope, he turned it off.
Taking my advice.
There we go.
So, anyways, a lot of racing going on this year, luckily.
Yes.
But one person we haven't seen at the local track, at least I haven't, is this man here, Mr. Rucci Jr., Vinny. You've been busy, though. You haven't been sitting on the sidelines or anything like that. You've been
racing. I've been racing IMCA Dirt Mods. I'm trying to race almost every weekend, but it doesn't play out that way.
Are you rubbing it in our face, or are you just telling us?
It sounds like he needs to take a weekend off and sponsor us.
No.
So did you race last year at all in 2020? I know a lot of tracks shut down, but a lot of dirt tracks seem like they stayed active in some capacity.
For the most of it, like, most of the tracks shut down, but, like, it was a few tracks around us that stayed open.
Right.
And if you planned it right, you can get 2-3 races in a month.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
I think last year I did 20 races.
Wow, man. That was...
All through COVID, and, I mean, for me, that's a lot of racing.
That is a lot of racing for most people, anyway.
Yeah.
At least twice as much as a lot of people would even
I mean,
think
in the
of.
In the dirt world, that's not a lot. But,
really?
I mean, that's a lot for me for, like, my second or third year in dirt. Like,
how many different tracks did you race last year in 2020 we're talking about?
I got to actually count it out. I don't even know.
Well, that's good. If there's that many that you have to think about it, that means you had a lot of fun in 2020. So we got a lot of things that we want to find out from you.
I think it's about 3 or 4 that
cool.
We just kept on going to because they were just like, you know, no one else is racing. So let's just plan all these races out. And we're like, okay. So we just started, okay, we'll take a couple weeks off, go race, couple weeks off,
right.
Go race.
And you're talking like
car.
California, I guess.
California, Arizona.
Arizona, of course.
Yep.
It seems like Arizona kind of was the most loose to be able to have.
Arizona was definitely the loosest one out of our surrounding states by us.
Right.
They
any,
also,
any in Nevada? Any other tracks in Nevada?
No, the duel in the desert we did, but that was no fans. And
right.
Everyone has to wear a mask, and we only had like a certain amount of crew people to do it.
Yeah.
California did this tour called Cali Speed Weeks, which I have the shirt on
cool.
From this year.
Right.
But we did that. That was 6 races in 6 days all down the coast of California.
Cool.
And then this year was 8 races, 9 days, and you had a break in the middle. But
no
I only
kidding.
Did the first night of that one.
That's really cool. What group is putting that on, is promoting that?
As I know, he's like a track promoter for Merced Speedway.
Uh-huh.
His name's Doug. He puts on Cali Speed Weeks.
Okay.
He's a really cool guy. I've met him my first time I went to Cali Speed Weeks, and he's been one of my friends now where I can actually call him and ask questions about other events, and he'll just tell me how it is.
That's cool. That's actually a really cool concept that you know, he put together, you know, that might be something to think about for Gary to put together for asphalt tracks, right? That's really cool. So where do they start that?
And the first year during COVID, we started up at a place called Plasterville.
Okay.
And then we went from Placerville all the way down to Bakersfield.
Is everybody plastered up there?
No, it's just called, it's like, they say it Placerville, but really everyone calls it Placerville. I don't get it, but it's Placerville if you look at it.
How many hours?
That is a 10-hour drive from my front door to the racetrack.
When this came about, was that something you wanted to do, or were you thinking, man, I don't know, that's a long haul?
When it came up, I was like, you know, it'd be fun to go race for a week.
Right.
And I had the money to do it, so I was just like, something that you'll never do in your lifetime again.
Absolutely.
So I was just like, Mom, I got to do this. And she was like, go right ahead. And I mean, I thank her for letting me do
the stuff
I do now.
So that has to be what? That's like through Bakersfield up to five going towards
Monterey. So what I did is I went up through Reno almost and went into like
San Francisco, San Jose, and came back down the other way.
Well, there's
I forget the city I went through, but I went up through Reno almost, and it was right there by
I mean, there's Sparks, there's Carson City, all that right up through there.
Yeah, right through there, and then I went from there all the way down the coast to Bakersfield,
okay.
California.
So. Yeah, so you get through Sacramento.
So basically, I made a big circle, but if I went through California, it was 2 hours longer than 10 hours.
Wow. So you went the other way, and then
I went
way down.
Exactly right up.
Because I know it's like 10 hours or so to like Watsonville. Where Cindy's from.
Right.
So, I was like, I'm not going this way to come back this way. I'm like, I'm going to make a big circle.
So when you went to that track, I mean, you've never been to that track before.
Never been to the track, never seen it.
Is it a quarter mile, third mile?
It is a quarter mile, a little short track.
Really?
High banked.
Really?
Big cushion at the end of the night.
Pretty fast
quarter
mile.
Yeah.
Huh?
Pretty bad to the bone. I love the track.
Were there a lot of locals racing there?
It was not a lot of locals. I mean, it was more of the people who are like me, who are like, hey, we're going to go race this tour because there's nothing else going on.
Really. Sure.
But I mean,
a lot of desperate drivers.
But like that whole time during COVID when I did the first year of it,
yeah.
It was no fans.
Right.
It was on, I was on Flow Racing TV.
Yeah.
I was on Flow Racing. Yeah.
So, what do you think? Could you tell a difference with no fans? I mean, because
I personally love racing in front of fans.
Right, it kind of gives it makes
the racing better for me.
Right,
but it was kind of weird, like just standing in the pits, looking in
it's
the stands,
like a
and
practice.
No one's there. Yeah,
yeah right?
It was like a Friday night practice at the Boring to
me. That's crazy. Yeah.
But
do you have a good car count? I guess for
we
that?
Had.
Yeah.
The first night we had...
You're talking COVID time, so...
First
you know.
Night we had 65 A-mods.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding.
I mean,
it died off.
Wow, yeah.
It died off, like,
right,
during
right.
the races, because, like, people
sure.
didn't want
to
travel. But,
well,
like,
exactly.
the first race of the, of
show up
of the show was...
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Who is this guy? Talk to him about the late model truck series.
Amazing, man. That is ridiculous.
Hey, by the way, them guys are cool, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Those late model truck guys?
At least one of them.
Yeah.
I won't tell you which one.
You figure out which one.
It's, you know, so is it the first name on the pen, or is it the second?
Yeah, I know. I got three of them. So
who's the cooler one? The first name or
why
the second?
Number, you got
my
five.
Number two. You know, so, wow, that is a great showing, man. And what did you think of the track? So you never – so typically on a – dirt track, you don't get a Friday night practice or anything like that. And these are Saturday races.
Yeah, I woke up Saturday morning at 3 a.m., drove to the racetrack, got there at 1, and hot laps started at 2 o'clock.
So you do, like, the packing, track packing?
Yeah,
stuff.
we did
track
we did,
and stuff?
We did wheel packing, hot laps, right into heat races, and then right into B mains and right into the...
So how many cars were in the main?
26.
Wow.
26
every
on
night.
A quarter mile.
That is
every
amazing.
Night.
Amazing. That is,
it's
that
like
is 24, ridiculous.
26,
cool.
depends on what tracks
sure.
are. But yeah, that's basically how you say 26.
Wow.
You get a good jump. You're already laughing, people.
So on that heat race, yeah, that, obviously that's when you're kind of starting to get a good feel of the track and all that. Were you figuring
for
things
me,
out?
Yeah, for me it was the heat race. But like all the people I was racing against, like it's some heavy swingers in California
sure.
for racing.
I mean, you have experience, but obviously you're still
I'm still learning personally. So for me to learn in the heat race was big, but the guys I was racing against, they're like,
right.
we've been here, we know what we're doing, and we're going to go out and get into this race.
And we know what they, you know, like experienced racers, they usually try to intimidate the rookies or the newbies and guys like that. Anybody out there that stuck out that try to, give you any
bump and run
crap?
No, not really. Everyone on dirt's pretty nice to me. I mean, you do run into each other on the racetrack, but at the end of the night, they come over and just say, hey, like, blah, 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 and we talk it out, and then it's done, and we go to the next race, or you see them in, like, a month because you race that track again or something.
You see any other Vegas people out there, or are you pretty much?
Vegas people know more of Pahrump people, like Jake Pike and Colin Hipton and all them before Colin went back to where he is now, but mostly the people are from like Pahrump area that travel. I don't know anyone that really has a dirt car in Vegas besides me and Brad Hopkins.
Right. There might be just a couple that maybe that don't even race them anymore or anything. Like
So that's all I know for in Vegas that has dirt cars.
Wow. So did you like that track?
Placerville. Yes. That I would go back to that if I was willing to drive the 10 hours again. but it's a long drive.
But that's part of the fun, right? Getting to the track and the experience of being out of town and experiencing the local. I'm sure you had like lunch, dinner or something at that local restaurants or something like that. To me, that's part of the fun is
just seeing what's happening in other towns.
Yeah.
Like I was driving down the coast and we're just driving to the next track and we're like, oh, wow, we're in wine country in California.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay. Like this truck's by the winery.
We'll stop and get some wine now.
Like, I didn't do that, but like, I was just like, oh, yeah.
You're there, right?
Yeah.
So what was the next track after that?
We went from Placerville to
another quarter mile or track?
Another short track quarter mile.
What do you think of the differences between those two? You know,
those
hit
two,
your second track of the
that second track was really rough.
Really,
it was ruddy. Just hammer down, ride it out to the ruts, and then at the main, it just dried off.
Wow.
You just didn't know what to do because like the whole day it was hammer down. And
isn't
rough.
That fun though to have the tracks do something totally different? You're out there trying to figure stuff out and making
like
it work.
Like you race the heat race and you come in and you're like, okay, what do we do?
Right,
and you're like instead of sitting there trying to figure it out, you go up to the stands and just watch.
Right.
Because you're like,
see who's doing what.
But like, you could sit there and watch three heat races and each heat race is different.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, well, now I got a mindset of what I need to do to the car.
That's
to go back out there and see if it works. Because by the time I get out there, it might change again.
Right. Well, and that's part of the fun is you don't know if it's a lot of you or if it's a car adjustment or both, you know. So you're fighting.
Right now,
it's both.
Both. Right now, it's both. No, but it's both.
Do you find yourself able to adjust to the setup a little as you go along a little better? Or
only like the last month I can really truly say that I can start feeling what I do to the car and what it changes on the car.
You know, it's funny because like you might not notice like, you know, because you're experiencing this as you go, but somewhere down the line, if you haven't talked to anybody for a while like us, you know, we can hear and know some of the experience that you've gained over the last year just by knowing the tracks and what they're doing and all that. So that's really cool to be part of that and experience that here with you. So after that track, I mean, how'd you do in both those tracks? I mean,
the first race,
a lot of competition, a lot of good competition, especially in California.
The first race, we started outside pole in the heat race and fell back out of a transfer spot. And then kind of got tangled up with a car, ripped the nose off.
Oh, that sucks on the road, right?
Yeah, and totally missed the V-main trying to put the car back together.
Oh, well.
Second night, we started last in our heat race and actually made a transfer spot because someone forgot to go to tech. I finished third and they took two to the main. And actually, the person who won it didn't go to tech. So,
nice.
So they're like, oh, well, you made the main. And I was like, well, thanks. So that was cool.
Doesn't matter how you get there, you got there.
Yeah.
Right? Cool.
Actually, that was the day Aiden Kaiser and Brian Kaiser were here. And I called in because BC Kaiser was with me. But, I mean, it's just a learning curve and I love learning it. And I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
That's amazing. So after week apart from this, or do they have any like Friday night and then Sunday or Friday Saturday races or Saturday Sunday races?
They do.
Like,
this year I went down with one of my I call close friends. His name's Jake Pike. He was in Pahrump.
Mm-hmm.
He went back to Iowa last year. He knows a lot to do with dirt.
Right.
And I went down to Arizona Speedway with them for a two-day show, and then we went again a month later for a three-day show.
Wow.
And those two times I went, I've learned so much from them how to adjust on the car that I probably will never forget what they taught me. The first time we were there, I missed the main the first night by one transfer spot, and the second night I actually made the main. So, I mean, just learning curves and meeting people that can help you out is a big deal.
That's huge. You know, and being in a I don't know, I'll call it a series like this. Like you said, the people you run across, you end up, you know, maybe you don't see them for a few races, but then you run across them again and you start getting these friendships and relationships with people and you learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, they probably learn from you too. You know, it's just, it's really amazing. After that second race, I mean, is this how they line it up? Is all the way down the coast is how it's set up pretty much?
For Cali Speed Weeks, it was down the coast every day we raced. But like Arizona Speedway.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're going to put a two-day show on. And it's called the Wild West Shootout or Wild Wing Shootout.
So with those kind of car counts, what do you think bringing – like, I'm sure the Arizona Speedway had huge car counts too.
Yeah.
You know, you think it's a purse that's drawing in those car counts, or just dirt's a little different? They're just
I honestly think, don't get me wrong, the payouts are good.
Yeah.
But I think it's just – we have so many people that want to race dirt, and they don't care where we race.
Yeah, they do what they can
that
to get to the track.
They'll go and race.
Yeah.
And we have so many people, we're going to get the car count.
Right. And yeah, because I don't think there's any real dirt tracks that I've noticed, you know, that suffered in, you know, a lot in car count.
Like this year I've been racing Mojave Speedway.
Mm-hmm. Great track.
I have a friend down there that I actually like stay in his motorhome on the side of the house every time I go down there. One night we had a B main.
Wow.
We had seven cars in a B main, and we take 26 to the A.
That's crazy.
Like, and that was just a Saturday night local show in Mojave Valley, Arizona.
Yeah. Well, and if you're not familiar with that track, look it up. It's right there. If you're going to the track, you'll think you're lost. Then
yeah,
if
you're coming from Vegas to Havasu, you get off at Needles, and it's right over the river.
Right, it's right there.
And it's in the middle of nowhere, but. They get car counts.
They get car counts, and I don't know if they're allowing spectators.
They allow. They've been sold out every race.
I was gonna say, they always get the stands full.
They've been sold out every race I've raced.
That's amazing. That's a cool track. You know, if you haven't checked it out, you know, you want to check out some dirt racing. That's a real cool track to travel to. It's not that far.
And they got new owners of the track.
Oh, okay.
The Meyer family. I've met them through racing too. They're actually a really cool family. It's family owned and run.
Sweet.
They're like really cool.
That's always been a goal.
They'll come up to you at the end of the night and say thank you for coming.
Wow.
Like, please come again. Like,
sure.
If you guys need help, they'll help you guys out getting into the pit sometimes. Like, they're really nice. They're just there for the racers.
You know, and
that's why I like going back.
That goes a long ways. You know, especially you know, for guys that travel. You know, it just means something. So, no, that's cool. All the races that you race at, are they always IMC? Points races, or do you go outside of that sometimes? And like this series,
this was IMCA points
was
too.
It? Oh, okay.
But like Per Rump, if I want to go race Per Rump, it's not IMCA sanctioned.
Not.
So like that'll be out of the thing. But like most of the tracks that I do go to, because it's not a lot of tracks over here that are non IMCA. So
do the guys in Per Rump complain that it's not an IMCA track? Wouldn't they rather have it be an IMCA? Track they
people there track. Want it to be IMCA track, but they've been trying to do it for years. I think
IMCA sanctioned.
Yes,
at
one
mistaken.
Time they were.
Like Gary would know more than me about that.
So they were at some point.
Yeah, at one time they were,
and that's when they used to do like the day after the duel. They were still a IMCA sanctioned track, but I don't know if those were IMCA points races. But you know, I know back then that was around the same.
Well, if it's IMCA sanctioned, then it's IMCA points too, but. If it's not, then it's no IMCA point.
So what's involved with that? Is that a licensing deal?
So it's like NASCAR licenses. Mm-hmm. So you buy your NASCAR license, and at the end of the year, you get like this check from NASCAR, right? So we buy a
YMCA.
Okay. Some people get a check, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But no, but yeah, we seriously, you pay your membership.
It's not a big check, but it's a check, okay?
So you pay your memberships, and then, of course.
You pay your memberships, and what it does is just, it's just better teching and people around the track. Like, it's better ran.
And the
but
way,
the track needs to be sanctioned, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They need to get licensed or whatever they have to do.
Yep. And then at the end of the year, like if you run for nationals, what you got to do 60 to 80 races a year.
That's crazy.
To run for national points for
that's
IMCA.
Insane, huh?
I
saw Gary's eyes light up.
You got to check out that too.
Right, right.
I mean, I ain't doing that never, but I mean, you'll get a check if you do something like that.
Nuts, man. But the way the point system set up is really cool.
Yeah.
So whether you race 20 races or 60 races, the way the points are, they really, you know, accommodates
yep.
all
and
levels.
And even if you don't race, like, say you race IMCA tracks, but you travel around or you stay at one track, you still get your IMCA points. But if you're racing that local track the whole year,
yeah.
you can still win their track championship, even though you're not winning IMCA's championship.
Right.
Oh, so that's cool.
It's
yeah.
like a double point system going on.
Right. Right. That's pretty cool. Yeah, have you raced a lot here in Pahrump?
My first year I did. Now it's kind of like a testing zone for me. Like if
right.
I wanted to change something on my car, I can go up there real quick. It's only 45 minutes away.
Right.
I can be back at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, lately I haven't been going up there.
Well, you know, because once you're experiencing these other tracks, you know, it not to put Pahrump down.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not putting
you know,
I'm
gonna,
you could, you
but,
start,
but you, yeah, you get a different.
You have your favorites
field.
And
right.
you start.
You
yeah.
have the tracks that you like to go to and run and like the people that are there, so you just
sure.
keep going back to those.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, which tracks do you like to go to?
My favorite track, and it's still to this day, it's a lot of money to get into the pit, but Paris Auto
Paris,
Speedway.
Okay.
That track's half mile high banked, and I love that
is
track.
Is that what makes it fun
that's
for you?
What,
is that the
what,
size?
Yeah. As a driver, it's a fun track to go to.
And they got the, like, I don't know, you know, as far as the track itself goes, the kind of dirt they use and all that. It,
yeah.
It's just a good mix
it's
for you.
It's a fun track
wow.
to race on. Mojave, I like that place because, one, it's only an hour and, like, 40
yeah.
minutes, or not even 40. It's like an
close.
Hour and 15 minutes away.
Right.
I love the people that run the track.
Yeah.
And they get good car count, and we race. And
right.
It's no BS there.
Yeah.
It's this is how it's going to go and this is how it's going to be. If you don't like it, leave.
Right. So if it's a close track, that's the one you prefer. But if you're going out of town or something, Paris is
4 hours. So like
yeah.
Paris is a fun track. Bakersfield, I mean.
Do you like that Bakersfield?
Bakersfield
track
if
yeah.
you can do good there, you can do good anywhere.
Really?
That track is one of the hardest tracks I've ever raced.
Why is it? Just the banking's different on, you know, each corner
is
different?
It's not that. It's how the track comes in. Like, it could right. be real dry slick on the bottom, and then you can go in the center and be ruddy, hammer down, and you can go on the wall. And if you got the stuff to run the wall, be my guest. That's
right.
where you got to go. But it's, like, so hard to figure out setup and driving
sure.
style there that, I mean, I've talked to a couple people, and they're like, if you can do good in Bakersfield, you can do good anywhere.
Well, sounds like that's the place to go practice, right? Cause if
yeah.
if you can conquer that, then
I mean, don't get me wrong. I went there twice and I hate it. But
right.
I mean, if
yeah.
that's what they're saying,
yeah.
like, let's keep going and trying it.
Right.
So,
well, you never know when that one thing clicks, you know, and you're like, hey, this is what we had to do this whole time. I didn't know it, but yeah, you just kind of figure things out.
Well, plus the Bakersfield track's been around for a while, hasn't it?
Oh yeah,
a really long time. Like
yeah,
NASCAR early NASCAR Bakersfield
yeah.
started that track for the West Coast people.
Right. You know, and that you know, some of that. To me, that history means something, you know, when you go to these tracks. And that's, hey, that'd be a good track to go experience. I don't know. We need to hit some dirt tracks up, Gary. I don't know, maybe a bicycle or something. We don't have anything to race on it, but hey, we'll watch Vinny out there. How about that? We'll follow. We'll be
Laybow trucks
no.
go dirt.
It'd be like that XX, or what's that new series Tony Stewart started up, that race on dirt and asphalt now?
I'm not sure.
It's got the big spoilers on them.
Right.
Now. It's like something
SST. Didn't Everham have something to do with that?
Yeah. That's part of it. Yeah.
Fury builds the cars. Like, I don't know what they're called. I forget.
No, that's cool. Hey, you never know. You got to do something exciting and have a change, you know, to get fans involved and keep them involved. So But that's cool.
Kind of see a big spoiler on the back of the pickup. That'd look pretty wicked.
Right. So, out at the track, what type of modifieds are you seeing? Are you like, what are the popular ones now? I mean, what do you have?
Right,
chassis wise.
Right now, my car is a 2014 GRT.
Okay, you think you have an advantage, disadvantage? Because sometimes there's advantages to having an older
my car is
one
like
for,
a.
Because it's not real old by any means, but.
My car is like a mid-brand car.
Okay.
It's not the most expensive one, but it's not the cheapest one.
Right.
Right now, what's big going for dirt is Rages,
okay.
Rage chassis, and Lethals. Those are the big chassis right now.
Okay. Because me and Gary, this is a couple years now, but we're up at the PRI show back in Indy, and I could not believe some of the modified the technology in the late models and modified dirt cars.
It's much stuff going on in the.
It is cool. I and to see it for dirt cars, it's even more amazing. It's just crazy. It's really cool. I can see how you can easily tune yourself out of any race.
Oh yeah,
just like that. You know.
Yep.
So, I don't know, and I don't even know how
how
the setups are, how it all works. It's cool how you guys get up there and you. Three wheel it and you get on the bike, and it's working, but it's like, man, it just looks like a lot of work to figure it out.
It's a lot of mathematical stuff and angles, and it's a lot of stuff that goes on.
Right.
But once you figure out how it works, then you'll never forget it.
Do you, without giving away any secrets, of course, from track to track, do you make a lot of changes?
Make a note here.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Yeah. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, right.
I ain't afraid.
We'll let you tune yourself out of this. You know, for the dirt, of course, you're going from quarter mile to quarter mile, but different banking, different types of dirt and all that. Do you make many changes, or do you kind of try to keep like a base setup?
My car, I can take to a half mile to a quarter mile. It does not matter what track I'm at. I don't change it.
So you do maybe a little tweaking here and there.
Basically, I have a baseline setup. I go to a track, say it's a half mile,
yep.
Paris. I put the gear in it and I race.
Yeah.
As the night goes on, I make the changes.
Cool.
But then when I get back to my house, I move it all back.
Right.
And then
smart.
I go to another track and I make all those changes or the same exact changes. And then I get home and I go all the way back again.
Well, yeah, and you have your notes, of course, what you did at this track last time and which worked. And then you know how to adjust.
And the cool thing about the car I have is GRT makes a setup book. So, like, you buy a car from them.
Cool.
They go, here's a setup book on everything you need to know about this car and how to adjust on it.
Well, and what's good about that is they don't just make those numbers up. They have people test, and when they make
those
chassis. Yeah,
they have house drivers that are telling them, hey,
and they're good
this spring
too.
Right here is
right.
supposed to be in this car.
That's cool.
So, like, that is a good baseline setup. I mean, I kind of zoned off of it, but it helped me out.
Do you think going to a different chassis would help you or hurt you in any way? Are you thinking about? Have you ever raced somebody else's chassis just to see what the feel was?
Right now, I have a.
Without telling
car.
Your dad, you spent his. You got a checkbook yet?
No.
I just played by
this. This car is my checkbook. I went out and bought an actual brand new car, Rage.
Okay.
It's not brand new. I mean, it's used, but it's getting updated and it's getting powder coated and. It's going to be my new car.
Cool.
So that's a Rage chassis.
Okay.
But that's what's coming
soon.
Heck yeah. Soon to be.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of driver adjustment for you to do, or do you think it's going to be
a
little bit better?
But like I said, you meet so many people during the races and each way you go to a track. I ran into a guy named Chris Laney. His son is Cody Laney. He races the 5L car. He's really big in the dirt.
Wow.
He goes back to Iowa for months on months.
Wow.
He's actually the one who's got my car and is doing all the updates and setting it up for me. I am paying him to do it, but at the end of the day, I know I have someone that knows a little bit more than what I do to help me.
Do you have like a, let's say you show up to a track and you see other Rage cars. Is it kind of a camaraderie or more of a competition when you see somebody else with another Rage chassis?
Well, like I said, I went to Arizona Speedway.
Yeah.
They took 26 cars into an A-main show. It was two GRTs and it was me and my friend.
Wow.
and there was two other cars, and they were both Jason Hughes cars. The rest were all Rage cars.
Oh, wow.
So out of 26 cars, five of them were different cars. 21 were all Rages.
So that tells you something, yeah. So, you know, but it's also cool to see someone make something else. You know, and make it work, you know, against those other 20-something cars, you know. So that means a lot, you know. What would you call the suspension? You know, I don't know. I know, you know, there's four link and there's Z bar, whatever. You know, what kind of I don't know what suspension would you call?
My cars are four link.
Four link, okay.
I mean, two of my cars I can make a Z link if I wanted to, but
it's still those
Z links
most...
are kind of like out the window
three
bar, like three links, like a B mod.
Yeah.
Those are, people have been trying to get them to go, like, this guy, he drives a 60 car. He comes down for the duel. His last name's Gold. He's a three link car.
Wow.
He's an open motor guy.
You don't
too.
See many of that.
And
at
he's
all.
Actually really fast, but he's not fast enough to keep up with the people that actually got their four bars working.
Wow.
And it's like, it's cool to see the stuff like, oh yeah, he's got a three link. Like it's working right now. But then you get a guy that has his stuff pretty
dialed
much
in,
ready to go four link. And you're like,
all right.
Okay, that dude might be faster than me, but that guy's way faster than me.
Right, and that's the future, right?
Yeah.
That's the way that's going. So.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. That's cool to see some of the differences out there. And probably a lot of stuff you see, like we see Mark Allison out there with his old leaf spring,
you know,
and making
like,
it work.
Leaf spring cars are really good on dry slick tracks.
Yeah.
So, like, if he's going anywhere with a dry slick, that might be a four bar.
Right.
But yet again, if you get a guy that's dialed in, it might not be.
You're not going to even keep up, right?
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. That's you know.
And it's crazy to think because, like, now, I'm not saying all that stuff's out the window.
Sure.
People are still doing it, but it's like right now, as we sit, four bars are the way to go.
Yeah. You know, and what you know what's good with what IMC have done is you call it like the B mods.
Yep.
You know, so they've given a place for, so let's say, a lot of those, you know, the older style cars to race, you know, which would be a B. Because what's the difference in an A, you know, like I guess
the difference
mod
between
an
A mod and a B mod. So A mods can run 604 crates or an open motor. B mods have to run a 602 or they can run like an open motor. They have to run pump gas. We can run alcohol or pump gas.
Okay.
B mods run a Saginaw 3 speed or they can run automatic. We can run Brin transmissions or Falcons.
Falcons, okay.
They have a 9-inch. We have a quick change.
Okay.
Oh,
I didn't know that. So, yeah.
And then other than that, ours are four bars. Theirs are three bars.
Wow.
They get a bigger spoiler. They have we have a 1-inch spoiler for a crate motor in our class. B mods have a 4-inch spoiler.
Wow.
And all B mods.
And they typically used to not have any spoilers on an A mod at some point.
Well,
these.
When they made the rule for a crate, they went to a crate or to the spoiler for the crate.
With the crate, okay.
When I started racing, it was the year that they took the spoiler away.
Oh.
And then.
But, yeah, they did that for you, by the way. So they like, hey, video's coming.
Before my car ever actually got done getting built, is when they decided, hey, we're going to add the spoiler back in.
Right.
So I never raced without a spoiler. But, I mean, they can take it away as easily as they brought it back.
Sure.
But, like, the open motors don't have them.
Do you see, speaking of the motor differences, any advantages, disadvantages with, let's say, running a 604 versus an open motor?
All the tracks around here, 604s are the way to go.
Really?
When it's dried out, 604s
just
are
because
really
of the track sizes and
the track sizes, but at the same time, it's easier to hook up a motor that has, let's just say, 400 horsepower compared to a motor that has 600 horsepower.
Yeah, because you gotta have track. You gotta put that traction somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta get it hooked up.
Okay.
So a lot of people say crate motors, and I live by my crate motor. I got almost 80 nights on my crate motor now.
That's amazing. That's
and I do is change the oil every four races.
Right.
And on night 70, I changed the valve springs for the first time.
Right.
Never took off my valve cover.
Oh, yeah.
I've never took off my valve cover until I had 79.
That's amazing. That's what's cool about the crate, whether it's 602 or 604, like you guys run, is that's the weakest point is going to be the valve spring, because
yeah.
the motors are bulletproof, mm-hmm. and, you know, for the cost that you get, you know, and the amount of races you get on, it's cool. It's really good. But there's open motor guys that are out there obviously making that stuff work.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's better on the longer tracks like Paris, let's say, to have an open motor?
Yeah, no, I mean, if Paris is, like, hooked up, hammered down, moisture, the open motors are going to help. But, like, the weekend before, I went up there in my dad's backup car, because he has a backup car.
Right.
He has a GRT, actually,
right.
same year as mine, has a backup car.
That's cool.
I took that up there because he wanted me to race it and just work on it.
Sure.
And that has a crate motor, and I mean, I was trying to chase down a dude with an open motor for 5 laps.
Wow.
And then finally I got him because the track started drying off.
Okay.
But, I mean, it depends on where you're racing and how the track's going down that yeah. night. And it helps.
And you've never raced with an open motor. You've always had the 604 pretty much. So
yes. I've raced one race, and it was with my street stock motor from the Bullring.
Oh, right, right.
And I was racing for Charlie Wall and Sonny Wall, and it was their house car, and they told me to put the motor in.
Right.
And that was the only time. And
yeah, and of course, that motor is just a 10-to-1, you know, the one that they had you put in there. It's nothing fancy.
Yeah, it was nothing fancy. So, it was a 10-to-1.
Did you get any
stock motor?
Were you able to do anything with it? Yeah, it's probably, you know,
if I was building an open motor now, what I
yeah.
know now for dirt, I would build the exact same motor.
Right.
Oh, really?
Because
yeah.
it used to be like in the mods, the IMC back in the day, it used to be a 355, 10
yeah.
to 1, you
yeah.
know, that was the motor to run.
That's what you would build
yeah.
if you want to go open motor. I would try to build that because it'll make almost a little bit more than what
yeah.
a crate motor does.
Cool. Yeah, because obviously you don't want to, you know.
I mean, I have a friend that has a 406 in his car
right
now.
And that used to be another thing, right? The
yeah.
406 started coming in. That was
yep.
the motor to have.
He has a 406 and he's like, it's too much power. And he took it out. And
really?
It was like made like a 302, and he's like, this thing's got not enough power. And I was like, well, buy a crate motor.
Since you've been in it, you know, what, has it been like 2 or 3 years now? Three years?
Like going on 3.
Did they do any other rule changes besides, like, you know,
no.
allowing more of the 604s?
The only rule changes since I've been in is we can't do short shafts anymore. So, like, what we were doing is, we would cut a shock, weld the end
yeah.
back onto it.
Right.
So when the track dries off, you can carry the left front and we'll give you a little bit more drive.
Right. So basically you
can't
take the
shock
away.
Do that no more.
Okay. Huh.
So now your shocks have to travel. But they gave us a chain rule. So
okay.
now we can have a chain on our left front.
Okay.
And we can tie it up or tie it down as long as when it's cars in tech, you can wiggle it.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. The other rule, which came out to 2 days. Like, I was in the shop right before
no
this,
kidding.
And it came out 2 days.
Well,
we
you heard it here a second, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, it came out 2 days, like, not even 3 hours ago. Because we're on a tire shortage from Hoosier for 260s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
IMCA said that we are allowed to groove our tires now.
No way. Wow.
Okay. Tires that you have, let's just say, 20 nights on, and
gone. Because the first thing they did, they limited
yeah,
the amount of tires you could buy.
That went away when I started racing.
Okay.
So we can buy as many tires as we wanted,
but
we couldn't, we could grind them, we could siphon
right.
them, but we couldn't
groove them. Okay.
Now, because we're on a tire shortage and you can't get the tires that
yep.
that everyone
wants,
now
yeah.
wants, they're like, okay, so if your tire's this way, you can groove it.
Wow.
And put the grooves back in it and get another 4 or 5
yeah.
nights out of them.
Right.
Because we're on a tire shortage. But now, I think... I personally think IMCA is going to turn around and say, hey, we're only going to have you re-groove the tire to the stock.
That's
track.
What I was going
to
ask.
Because then you're going to have
stock.
The fast guys
yep.
trying to groove
oh, yeah, they
the tires
all.
When they're brand new.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I would do it.
That's exactly what's going to happen, yeah.
I mean, I got tires in
yeah.
my shop that I would groove when
right.
I wanted to put them on.
Well, that's what the question I was going to ask you. Are they letting you groove it only to the stock?
No.
You know,
as of right now,
okay.
no.
But
you can groove them any way you want.
Wow, interesting.
So,
that's pretty cool.
I mean, I could groove brand new tires if I wanted to, but I feel like they're going to come back and say, hey, like, you guys
sure.
got to groove to the stock grooving in the tire, which,
right.
I mean, it's going to be a pain in the butt because it's all ziggly lags
yeah.
and stuff like that, but, I mean, I think IMCA's on top of it, and they'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. And that's what's cool thing about IMCA is they are on top of it. You know, they know what guys are going to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they know. They were probably ran by a bunch of racers that were doing that crap before. So, but that's what's cool about IMCA is, you know, when they do make a rule, it's uniform across the United States. So if you went to, you know,
I can go to Iowa all the way to Florida, and it's the exact same rules that I race every time I go and travel down the road.
And you know your competition level is going to be the same wherever you go. Nothing's going to be any different. Somebody else is not going to have, you know, an advantage except for knowing the track or something like that. But
gearing and knowing the track and how your car works. That's basically it. On how you know how your car is going to react.
Right.
If someone's raced a car for 2 years compared to a guy that's raced a car for a month,
right,
he's got an upper hand on him.
That's cool. Yeah, that's what's the thing about IMCA. And of course, like, you know, you said that you haven't seen any changes in your time, and over the period of IMCA, you know, they haven't really made a lot of changes, of course, except to adapt to the new stuff. You know, of course, safety is always something with them, but, you know, hopefully you see a lot more of that happening into the other worlds of racing, like asphalt, for instance, with NASCAR or any other sanctioning bodies. Maybe they'll start doing that and be able to, you know.
I mean, it's just like, I just thought about this too. The only other rule I can think of that changed is during the duel in the desert when COVID was going on. E-Box makes these springs where they're like a progressive spring.
Yep.
So it'll start off at a 200, but it'll go down to like a 150. And then it coil binds.
Okay.
So, like, all the fast guys were getting springs custom made like that.
Right.
And putting them in their car and coil binding them. So, what did IMCA do right after the duel? They said, no more coil binding.
Right. It's simple
as
that. Right. So, you have to steal.
So, now you got
to
put your spring that's a 500-pound spring, put it right back in.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Figure it out.
You know, and so, they're always watching for stuff like that. You know, and it doesn't seem like much of a change, but what happens from there is the guys take it to the next level, the next step, and same thing with shocks and things like that, is that all of a sudden, you know, a simple $300 shock turns into a $1,500 shock, you know?
As of right now.
Exactly, right? So that's probably what they are now.
Right now, I got a set of Integra shocks on my car, big bulbs, and, I mean, they're $300 a shock.
What are they allowing for shock right now? The twin tube, mono tube,
shocks. You can have a gas chamber, but they got to be hyper screwed. You can't have the actual Schrader valve on them.
Yep.
They can be single tube, mono tube, but
valved any way you want.
As long as we have rules like for our left rear shock. Our left rear shocks, what we try to do is make them really hard on rebound. So, like, you can't push them down. Once they're up, they're up.
Right.
The rule is the driver has to be able to take that shock off and push it all the way down.
Oh, wow.
So
you get your biggest guy.
So, like, no, the driver has to do it.
The driver.
So like Gary, he's driving a mod, and I'm driving a mod. His shock can be a lot more aggressive than mine because he's got a lot more butt than me. Like,
hey, what are you saying about that?
No, I'm not saying that.
So every driver's out there, like,
I'm
like
saying,
working
like,
their
he's
arm
got
out.
More force going down than me.
Yeah.
So, like,
no, that makes sense. That's crazy.
But
that's
not
an
IMCA rule.
That's insane. That's a pretty crazy rule, but it's pretty interesting. But it works, right?
It does work. It keeps the honest man honest.
Yeah. So you get the little guy. It's like, oh man, not Chuck teching tonight, are we?
Yeah, right.
What do you think of teching? Speaking of teching, are they do pretty intense teching or pre-tech, post-tech? What do you?
So for the big shows, they don't do pre-tech. So like the duel in the desert, what they did is, if you make a transfer spot, you get teched.
Okay.
If you don't make the transfer spot, you don't get teched.
Okay.
So, like, you can race all week and not make a transfer spot and never get your car teched.
And run, you know, B-main.
And run every B-main,
A-main,
you can run the heat races,
yep.
You can run
okay.
hot laps. You can never get teched.
Wow.
Because it's so many cars there. So, but, like, local, like, speed weeks, local shows, you go and get pre-teched and they start checking rake of body.
Wow.
Bove sails. They can check how high your body's off the ground. We have rules for every nose thing. Like our bodies, our nose pieces can't be more than 2 inches in front of the bumper.
Wow.
Like it's little things that they can check and they will.
Right. You know, there's reasons obviously for all that. It's not just to keep everybody equal, but also when the, you know, that they bump each other, that everything's equal, you know, yeah. to some degree. So, wow, that's cool. But people don't complain about that because they know that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, so, like, a lot of people don't complain about tech because we all know, hey, we got to pass this. So, like, I mean, it's different at their asphalt track. Like,
right.
I can go to the Bullring the next race and sit in tech and watch people go see tech,
right.
and it'd be like, well, that's close. Like, they're in the gray
right.
area.
Go ahead, yeah.
But, like, are they really should be passing tech right now?
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. Because dirt racers, they'll roll through tech, and they'll be, like, looking at it, and then they'll just be like, okay, you're good. And it won't. They'll be in the gray area, but their gray area is, like,
real
a
tight.
Quarter inch over.
Right. Okay.
Like, I don't know how they got it that good for everyone to do it that way, but it is that way.
Right. Well, you know what? It keeps you more alert in your shop to make sure when you show up to the track, it's going to be, you know,
maybe
ready to pass tech.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Bakersfield for Speed Weeks this year, and I didn't pass tech pre-tech because I didn't have a rubber piece on my positive terminal for my battery.
Wow.
I passed everything else, but that was the only thing, and I had one, and it fell off.
Oh, yeah.
So what I had to do is they told me to get duct tape and tape it.
So it had to be covered.
It had to be covered.
No
so
kidding.
I duct taped it, and then they finally put my tech inspection
right.
sticker on, and I rolled out.
Is that what it seems like for most of the – if you don't pass, is it, you know, hey, pull
yeah.
back through, you can
well,
fix it?
Actually, I fixed it right in tech.
Okay.
The guy watched me fix
That's
it.
That's cool.
The guy crawled under the car, taped it, and then
right.
the dude behind me had the exact same problem.
Wait,
and
no,
I let him borrow my tape.
Right. Hey, remember this on the track, man. Okay.
But, like, it's stuff like that, like, just they check everything.
That's cool. But you know you're the next guy's getting the same
yeah.
the same tech
the
that
same
you
exact
are.
Thing that you're getting.
All right. No, that's cool. You know, you have to respect
But also,
that.
I think that goes with the continuity between the tracks. So
yeah.
you can take that car and,
right.
you know,
yeah.
a bunch of different tracks because they do tech this. So all the rules
and every,
are the
And
same.
Every racer's on the same page. It's like, okay,
right.
if we want to go travel, which we are traveling because we are dirt racers.
Right.
We're going to make sure our car passes tech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you get 25 cars there that night, all those cars are going to pass tech because they've raced every other track that they race.
Right.
So it's like everyone's in the same rule book.
Exactly.
Everyone's here.
Yeah, I think most people just try to game their home track. That's why not a lot of them want to travel because they already have their home track gamed.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know. I suggest everybody go out and travel, you know. It's fun. You know, you gain the experience you can't get anywhere else. I'm not saying, you know, take anything away from any local tracks or local racing. I suggest racing there also. But go out and, you know, check out a different track. If you haven't been to, you know, if you're racing dirt, go check out Mojave, let's say, or Pahrump even, you know, if you have an opportunity to. If you haven't, even on asphalt, when they start opening up, go try a different track, you know, check it out. See how different it is. You'll start opening your racing experience up.
Yeah, see how they run it.
Right.
See how they run it compared to your local track.
Do you see, like, being at all the different tracks that you have been to, like, certain ways a certain track runs things that you like? Like, you know, hey, this, you know, they had this set up like this. You know, you go through
yeah.
this, you do this, you do this, you do that, this.
Definitely. Like, you can go to three different tracks in three different days, let's just say. And each track's going to be run different and
right.
how they do it different, but you can have that one specific track that you love how they do it.
Right. It seems like things are
yeah.
fluid. You got
yeah.
enough time to get things done. Is Paris like that for you?
Paris actually, it used to be like rush, 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 rush. And then this last, or 2 weekends ago, it was like, okay, we're going to go wheel pack. And then, like,
anyway,
not
yeah.
even an hour later, like 30 minutes later,
yeah.
we're like, are you guys ready? Like, yeah, we're ready for hot lap. Let's go.
Hey, you know.
Like, it was a lot laid back compared to what they used to do.
Yeah.
Like Mojave. Mojave is hot during the summer.
Right.
So they take a summer break. But, like, when it starts getting hot and we're racing, they don't start till we don't wheel pack till 7 o'clock.
Late. Yeah.
So, like, by, like, 8 o'clock, we have heat races done and ready to go race.
Wow.
So, like, it's really fast there, but exactly when the mains come, you're like, okay, we got some time to spend.
Right. Yeah,
so
that's cool. No, that's, you know, I guess you have to just adjust to each track and all
but
that.
But, don't get me wrong, it is cool traveling and meeting new people around the tracks that you don't see, like, on a daily basis
right.
or, like, a weekly basis at your local track.
Right.
It's cool. Like, I mean, at Paris, I like hanging out with all my friends because I have a lot of friends that travel with me, and they race too.
Yeah.
We can travel to a racetrack with three cars, and we'll all, like, at the end of the night, I'll just sit there and hang out, play music.
Right.
And y'all have probably, like, another 20 people roll up and just say, hey, we're partying with you guys tonight, listening to the music.
Cool.
And you just made a friendship there.
Right.
You just made friends that you can go see at, like, two different tracks in a month.
Right. You'll see them eventually at some other track or whatever.
So, like, it's just the people that you surround yourself in and how it adapts to you. And I wouldn't trade it. I mean, I love going dirt racing.
You know, because, you know, obviously before the dirt, you raced asphalt, you know. You didn't know anything else outside of that asphalt. I mean, did you ever expect it to be what it is for you? I mean, first of all, you're in a modified. You jump from a bomber to
I raced modifieds on asphalt, too.
Right.
But when I was racing the bomber for Pete, I was still racing my dirt car.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, like, fully into it. And racing local is cool and all. Like, you got your friends. We have our groups there. We have the way the track is ran.
Right.
And we know how it's going to be every weekend. Once you go and travel and go to other asphalt tracks, you see how they run it and you meet new people.
Yeah.
But dirt racing, I can meet someone from Iowa. I can meet someone from Florida.
Crazy,
that just say, you know
travel.
What, let's go travel down to California this weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you meet so many people in one race that y'all...
That's cool.
That you won't forget.
You don't see a lot of that in asphalt race, unless it's a special event of some kind, you know, a big special event. So, but you're talking, like, weekly racing even. You can find that, you know. So that's cool.
My friend was at the river on Sunday.
Yeah.
And his truck got stuck. And he's trying to get it out, and this guy walks over with the F-250,
right.
And he's from Iowa.
No way.
And he's a pit crew for a guy that races dirt modified.
Oh, that's funny.
And he pulled him out, and I was like, okay, like,
small world.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's
and funny. He knew, and I wasn't even there, and he told him that he lives with me.
Right.
He goes, I know him. He goes, I hung out with him at Mojave, and
that's funny.
I was like, oh, I know him too.
That's cool. You know, you can't find that anywhere else. So it's just cool to see that, you know, and it seems like more relaxed at dirt racing than asphalt. I don't know why, but it always seems
way. I don't know why either. And I do it now and I don't know why.
You've said that.
Oh,
you know.
I've said that 100,000 times,
you know, and you
a lot more relaxed.
I can't even explain it why it is, but it is.
But the level of competition is still there. You know,
I think it's more.
Yeah, if not more, exactly.
I think it's more competition level.
You know, and the one thing in dirt too, I think you have more people that know more what's going on and how to get things done. So your competition is tighter too.
Yeah.
So,
and the rule book's tighter and everything's tighter on them. So it's
But it's more relaxed. It's kind of weird.
It's weird.
You know, think how that works, you know, but I don't know. So what's your season coming up now? Are you guys off for the summer or are you?
I was racing Mojave. They're on their summer break. I just raced Paris 2 weekends ago.
Cool.
My roommate, Brady, who came in on the radio show, bought a new car and a crate motor.
Cool.
He's racing Saturday at Paris.
Oh, sweet.
So I'm going to go up there and help him. And right now I'm just building a new body on my car for July 23rd and 24th for Barona for 2000 The Wind Show.
Cool. Wow. That's going to be cool. Hopefully come home with 2000.
Right.
Hey, I know we only got 90 seconds left. Sponsors.
Silver Star Plumbing, Drain and Sewer, Here Clear, WFL Race Cars, and GRT Race Cars, A First Impression Signs, and thanks for everyone listening.
And if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Rucci Racing on Facebook, or you can look up my name, Vinny Rucci Jr. on Facebook or Instagram. I'm on there.
All right. We're going to keep an eye out for you. Hopefully we'll get out to Paris and come and watch Rucci Race, huh?
Yeah. And if you're on Facebook, my mom tries to keep everything updated. So
okay.
Like that.
We'll check it out on Facebook. So. Thanks again, Vinny, for being here. We appreciate it. Don't wait so long next time. And we'll see you live here next Tuesday. Yeah, but on worldnow.com. Appreciate it.